Blog Talk Radio.
3, 2, 1. Bayou Nation is on the nation's television picture via Louisiana Film Channel. Check out this venture when President Dr. Lucas Fry and actor, writer, producer Michael Baker join me next. BET Plus returned American Gangster, Trap Queens, for season 2 earlier this month. Hear how it's going next half hour with executive producer Jackson Nguyen. Larry King held court with anyone great and small over decades of TV and radio. A remarkable life that ended this weekend. We'll honor the King of Talk after the top of the hour, and as he did so long and well, invite you to join the conversation by phone or chat room. Also ahead, a double dose of Peacock coming attractions, News Nation expands, and our new classic trivia question. Hello, everyone. I'm Simon Applebaum, simulcasting live from New York on Blog Talk Radio, Spreaker, TuneIn Radio, and present on Amazon Music and the iHeartRadio Podcast Network. It's just in. Tomorrow will be televised. Brought to you by Audible.com, the leading provider of spoken audio entertainment information that will transform the way you hear the world. Listen to audiobooks whenever and wherever you want. Get a free book or two when you sign up for a 30-day trial at audibletrial.com/televised. More details later in this hour. A very good Monday afternoon to you and all, and welcome once again to the ProBot TV's current and future. We're expanding our show to 90 minutes so that we can devote the last half hour to our thoughts and yours about one of the giants of television and radio, Larry King, who passed away this weekend at the age of 87. That's coming up. So if you'd like to make a call about Mr. King and what he did, or talk to one of our guests, give us a call, 646-652-2906. That's 646-652-2906. The number is good anyway, or catch us across the country, around the globe, here on Blog Talk Radio, Spreaker, TuneIn Radio. And again, if you want to make the call about Larry King, do so during our final half hour, which will be after the top of the next hour, 4 p.m. Eastern, 1 p.m. Pacific. And of course, if you're not into the phone, we've got our chat room going, and we'll take those questions and comments there too. It's SimonApple04 by name, and you can find it at our homepage, blogtalkradio.com/televised. While the promo is on the air, you can connect others by using Facebook Timeline. Click on the Facebook icon on your Blog Talk Radio, tune in or speaker screen, follow the instructions, other people can be live with you. 37 degrees at the top of the hour, and our duo from Louisiana Film Channel will join us live from Baton Rouge in Garland, Texas, after these news notes. What a big Monday morning for Peacock, NBC's Universal Mega Content Enterprise. First, as of March 18th, Peacock will be the U.S. mothership of WWE Network, running both 24/7 service and 17,000-plus on-demand hours of programming. Under this arrangement, Peacock gets exclusive carriage of WrestleMania and other WWE events. Minutes after disclosing its WWE Network deal, Peacock disclosed the premiere of NBC Sports Edge BetCast, a special simulcast during NBC and Golf Channel PGA Tour coverage, emphasizing tournament odds, wagering commentary, and player leaderboards. BetCast will launch February 4th to the 7th with the Phoenix Open. That's the weekend of the Super Bowl. WGN America is doubling down its News Nation operation more than one way. The next Our Own channel will switch names to News Nation March 1st and be live with news programming from 6 p.m. to 11 p.m. Eastern time nightly. The current three-hour News Nation format will become 2 hours, that's 8 to 10 p.m., and operate as News Nation Prime. An early edition hour will lead things at 6 p.m., anchored by Nicole Burley, followed by an in-depth hour featuring current News Nation co-anchor Joe Donlan, who was on this program last summer. As noted earlier, former Court TV host Ashley Banfield will have her own 10 p.m. hour of breaking news and interviews. We got a lot of quickies for you, so let's run them down. Emmy-winning actor John Turturro is set to direct Is There No Place on Earth for Me?, a five-part miniseries adaptation of reports by 1982 Pulitzer Prize winner Susan Sheehan. Grey's Anatomy co-star Ellen Pompeo has kicked off a campaign to produce Winter in Paradise, a mystery series for ABC. No Harry Potter TV series HBO Max. That's Warner Brothers' denial to reports this morning on entertainment news websites. Those websites are maintaining their reporting that, yes, there is a Harry Potter series in development at HBO Max from Warner Brothers. Another HBO Max news, Emmy-winning Chernobyl showrunner Craig Mazin will extend his program development deal there through 2024. Mazin's currently Max focus is adapting popular video game The Last of Us. Billboard Music Awards 2021 will run live on NBC and Poppy Telemundo May 23rd. Separately, NBC will bring back its Weakest Link revival, starring Jane Lynch, for a second round of episodes later this year. And Hillary and Chelsea Clinton, yes, the Clintons, will team up and oversee production of The Daughters of Kobani, a scripted series about the all-female Kurdish militia in Syria. That's news notes for now. We found out a few moments ago about the American Film Institute's annual list of top television programs of the year. We'll bring you that list at the bottom of the hour. Little hint, if you're a Netflix fan, you are really excited about the choices AFI made. And there's also a special honoree, too, also from television. We'll tell you who that is again at the bottom of the hour. Last summer, we introduced you to a network available on smart TV sets and devices called Evergreen. That's how it's pronounced. It's done like Evergrn. It was a service put together by Picket Fence's former star Tom Skerritt and company, dealing with talent in the Pacific Northwest, films, television pilots, television series, special events, and so on and so forth. We're happy to tell you that the service is still running on smart TV sets and devices and doing very, very well. And after the program aired, our episode aired, we wondered, are any states going to take up a similar type of service? Well, 2 weeks ago on Facebook, we found a posting for just such a service called Louisiana Film Channel. We checked it out. It's definitely on the come, and yes, it is getting quite a bit of an audience. It is now available on Roku, Apple TV, Android TV television sets, and Amazon Fire TV, both as a stick and as a TV set operating system. Joining us live to talk about this service, which involves film, TV series, and more, is its president, Dr. Lucas Fry. Joining us live from Baton Rouge. Dr. Fry, welcome in. Let's see. Hang on for a second. There we go. All right. There we go, Dr. Fry. Welcome in.
Thank you.
And joining both of us is an actor, writer, and producer whose short subjects are now running on the service, Michael Baker. Michael, thanks for coming on.
Thanks for having me today, Simon.
It is a pleasure. Dr. Fry, we'll start with you. Talk about how Louisiana Film Channel came to be.
Well, I've been in the business for over 40 years and running television stations. I'm constantly approached by people that have television series or movie ideas, and they're trying to get distribution. They either produce them or they're looking for someone to produce with them. And it's just the catch-22 of Hollywood. I mean, for years until streaming came along, it was just impossible to try and get a good distribution. So as we traveled around the world, my wife and I, we kept running into displays in the strangest places that kept reminding us of Louisiana. It's been our home now for 10 years, but in that 10 years in traveling, and I mean around the world, we were in France in a small boutique, and there they were selling Duck Dynasty paraphernalia. We were in Portland, Maine, in a little grocery store, and there was the Swamp People display. So Louisiana, of course, with the Mardi Gras, has a global appeal, and we found that there's a lot of interest globally in Louisiana films. So what we tried to do was to say, hey, guys, here's a way that possibly we could help you make money and put money back in the pockets of the producers by launching a similar, and I say similar, project to what Amazon Prime has done for independent producers. Being an independent producer myself, I have television series on Amazon Prime, and it's a great platform for getting your product out there. They won't market you as much as that you'd like, but that's what we're trying to pick up the torch and do now is we're selecting films every day and every week and putting them into national television and social media ads and trying to promote these Louisiana filmmakers.
How much content, Dr. Fry, have you gathered for this service? How many films? How many original television series?
Right now, we're sitting on somewhere around 1,100 titles, and we introduce 4 new titles every week, and we have a back pile for the next year to continue that, to add to the platform. Every day, we get in more and more films, and we are in discussions with some producers of producing original content in 2022.
I want to go back to that in a moment, but Michael, talk about the work that you have supplied to the service. You have a number of short subjects you've made in recent years. Talk about making them and how you found out about LFC's existence.
Well, thanks. Right now I have 3 short films, under 15 minutes, that were all filmed in Louisiana. It's a great place to go film. There's lots of resources available and plenty of good locations. And when all three were finished, I got an email from Dr. Fry about this Louisiana Film Channel and was very excited to see. Louisiana has a huge, rich, deep history of film and TV. Shreveport was a center of filming before Hollywood pretty much monopolized everything. New Orleans is still a major center. Lots of filming going on down there. And I was very intrigued by his approach to doing this. Of course, Amazon is the 800-pound gorilla in the room, but there's always room for innovators and new people to come do things better. And by focusing on Louisiana, it's a terrific way to get a lot of good films out there and knowledge about the state and what you can do there.
As a matter of fact, earlier this month, we had the producers behind Secret of Sulphur Springs, which is the new Disney Channel mystery series that was filmed in New Orleans. And I must say, it started up very, very well. It was lovely, a terrific mystery series, great for the family, with some wonderful new talent on both sides of the camera. So no question. And they did it, by the way, during the coronavirus pandemic, which is still going on. And we'll talk about that and how it's impacted production. In that state shortly. We're talking about Louisiana Film Channel. It's not just film. It's film, it's TV series, and other things in the works too. And we're talking with the key person behind it, Dr. Lucas Fry. He's the president of the service. He joins us live from Baton Rouge, Louisiana, and from Garland, Texas, one of the talents you'll find on the service with their short subjects, Michael Baker. They're both with us live this half hour on Tomorrow Be Televised. So I'm going to have him with you live from New York. Glad you're with us for the show about TV's current and future here in Nueva York, where it's 37 degrees at the top of the hour. And we want to hear from you, so give us a call, 646-652-2906, or use our chat room, SimonApple04 by name. This is the first of three episodes we are doing this week. We'll also be with you at this very same hour on Wednesday and Friday. Coming up on Wednesday, we've got a great hour in store for you. First up, we'll have the founder and president of The Film Detective, a very popular service on smart TV sets and devices that's going to get bigger because of its involvement with Cinedigm. His name is Phil Hopkins. And you'll meet him. He's quite some person. And also, we'll also talk about what may be one of the most important new trends this year in television, interactive fitness channels. And leading that charge is Peloton. We will have an exclusive live interview with one of their key executives, Senior Vice President Karina Kogan. That's all coming up Wednesday, 3 p.m. Eastern Pacific, right here on Tomorrow Will Be Televised. Dr. Fry, what has been the reaction to the production community in Louisiana since this service was started?
It's been very positive. We've got literally hundreds of filmmakers that are submitting films or have submitted films. The thing that we do a little bit different here and how Michael came into the picture is we are associated with several television stations in the South. And of course, we have our own stations here in Baton Rouge. And we run a weekly television series called the Louisiana Film Channel's Wednesday Night at the Movies. And this gives us a chance to showcase the films that are going to be on the platform, interview the producers, have them come in the studio, tell us about their film, what inspired them to make it, watch the film with the viewers at home, and then take a few calls and let people ask them questions about why they did this and why they did that, and talk about future projects that they have coming up. So that's something we do that's a little bit different from all the rest of the networks that are streaming services, but it's really become very popular with the producers. We've got a backlog of people wanting to be on the show in 2021.
That was a huge treat for me.
And what are some of the television series, original TV series, that are currently running on the service?
Well, we have several. We have our own series that we're doing. It's a kind of a flashback series of the history of Louisiana, produced by Ed Poole, and he is known as the Hollywood South curator. He has documented well over several thousand films that were produced in Louisiana, all the way back to the original Tarzan, and yeah, there's so much history here, and people really enjoy that new series we've done. It kind of unlocks Vitascope Hall. If you've never heard of that, that was the first motion picture house in the United States. Of course, it was launched in New Orleans, and it toured several different cities, but New Orleans is where it became very first used. And we have just a lot of firsts and a good film trail here. We have a good tourism board here that supports the film industry and where all the different movies were made and shot, everything from Bonnie and Clyde to Magnificent Seven to it's unreal how many movies have been made in Louisiana. But we also have a lot of great television series that are produced by people that are from Louisiana, like Colorado Extreme. It's a 13-week reality series that is on our channel exclusively, and it was produced by a native of Louisiana and shot entirely on location in Colorado. So there's different threads that bring the different shows to our streaming service. That doesn't necessarily mean that it has to be shot in Louisiana. We just want something to have to do with Louisiana.
The short subjects, Michael, that you've made for the service, that are on the service, what are the themes of them? What do they deal with?
And very popular before he talks to you. They love his show.
I got to tell you, I had such a great time coming down to Baton Rouge and doing the interviews. My films have been in film festivals all over the country and some international, and you always get a few questions here and there about them, a lot of generic things, but boy, the time I spent down there was terrific. They did a nice thing. We bookend the films with some interviews before they show the film and then a little follow-up at the end of it, and good questions. He's well prepared. What a treat. I have three films running on the Louisiana Film Channel right now. You could find them. I think they're in the free section, so it won't cost you anything to go watch them. The earliest one is what I call a screwball comedy. It's a story about two old people in bed, and one of them has a problem. I won't say what the problem was, but when the EMTs arrive, the man is smitten by the young, gorgeous EMT, and his wife, the old woman, is smitten by the young male EMT, and hilarity ensues. It's a lot of fun. A lot of silliness going on there. The second one is called Popcorn and Chocolate, and if anything, that's been my big hit. It's a story of a military family who loses their son and is emotionally rescued by a young middle school girl who knocks on their door one day selling school fundraisers for her band. And they go through this journey together, and at the end it all comes together, and if all goes well, you'll be laughing and crying at the same time by the end of it. And then the third film is kind of a psychological drama called Who is Martin Danzig? And I won't give too much of it away, but it involves an old man sitting in the park feeding the pigeons when his boss appears out of nowhere and tells him he's no longer needed. And this man, Martin Danzig, has to face the realities of, well, I'm still wanted, but, you know, clearly I'm not useless. I'm needed. The world needs me. And at the highest level, we find out that this man is the guardian of humanity, and humanity doesn't want him anymore. You know, how do we approach that? And it's really at the higher level, metaphysics, and it's about even just emotional people who suddenly get that act and say, you know, you're not needed anymore. What use do I have to society? A very different kind of film. For fans of Star Trek out there, it does star Walter Koenig, who played Chekhov in the original Star Trek series and the movies. He's a terrific actor outside of being Chekhov. Did a great job in this. And all three are available on the Louisiana Film Channel website and app.
Well, I think the one thing I'd like to chime in on here is that more than being a writer and an actor, which he is very good at both, the stories are well written. The ability that we saw in Michael and the other producers in the state in their just incredible sense of, well, let's shoot for the stars. I mean, there's some big names in a lot of these little movies that you wouldn't think you're going to see. And then the things that you learn behind the scenes about how they pull off being able to produce certain things. And Michael's interview, which you can see on the platform, just pulls together military bases, support from military families. It was just amazing the support he got in order to pull off such a great, beautiful-looking film.
that is the amazing
Dr. Friday,
thing.
Do you know how much
magic
of your audience of the channel is in Louisiana and how much of it is outside? Are you getting what kind of feedback are you getting from people around the country?
Yeah, right now we're about 90% of our subscription base is not in Louisiana. And about 30% is actually out of the United States. So we have the most membership we have as far as currently is coming from the state of California.
Again, Louisiana Film Channel is available if you have Apple TV, if you have Roku, if you have a television set with Android TV or Google TV as your operating system, and it's also available on Amazon Fire TV, both the Amazon Fire TV plugins as well as operating systems in your TV set that have Amazon Fire TV. And we've got two key people involved with the making of the service, which is available nationwide and worldwide on smart TV sets and devices. Dr. Lucas Fry, he's the president, and Michael Baker, who is writer, producer, director of a number of subjects that you can find on the service currently and maybe down the road too. They're both with us live, Dr. Fry from Baton Rouge, Louisiana, Baker from Garland, Texas, this half hour on Tomorrow Be Televised. Simon Appel, I'm with you live from New York. Delighted to have you aboard. If you have a question or comment or main minutes with our duo, make that call go, 646-652-2906, or use our chat room, SimonApple04 by name. Next Monday, we'll kick off February with the executive producer of a new series called Double May Care, Amanda Miller. That's coming up Monday, 3 p.m. Eastern Pacific, right here on Tomorrow Will Be Televised. Dr. Fry, what is the status right now of production in Louisiana, given the pandemic? And are you now starting to look at commissioning original shows, both scripted and unscripted, or original films, made-for-TV movies, or other products, or other programming for the service?
Well, COVID has definitely dealt us all a hand that we're still learning how to deal with. But until we get shots in arms and people feeling confident to where we can go back into open production, unless you're Tyler Perry, it's going to be tough. The thing that I think that we're going to see in 2021 is a lot of pre-planning for 2022. We are currently taking on scripts and looking at it. And one thing the Louisiana Film Channel provides that is a part of the service as we work with our filmmakers is we have a complete supply of equipment that we loan out. We don't rent it. We strictly work with the people that are working on original content for the Louisiana Film Channel, but it makes it easy to get lighting and get sound and get clapboards and get cameras and lenses, and because we're in the business every day, so we have that stockpile of equipment that's available to these independent producers. And we're starting to get a lot of interest in that now, saying, hey, will you look at our film? Because once we sign off on it, we're kind of in a co-production alignment with them, at least in furnishing them with some equipment and expertise if they need it.
Michael, do you see a made-for-TV movie or an original scripted or unscripted series or Dr. Fry's service in your future?
Oh, absolutely. I had two scripts ready to go, had them cast. I had crew hired, ready to film in April of 2020. And, that was at the very beginning of the lockdown. And I called my location and they said, no, we're closing. And I called the actors, yeah, we don't feel good about this. So we shelved it, and I tried to do another one as it looked like things were leveling off. You know, remember, I guess it was around June, we had the downturn in the COVID numbers. And I said, okay, well, let's go back there and do it. And by the time we coordinated everything, it was shooting right back up. So we've been sitting tight and writing, tweaking scripts, still looking for talent and locations. But like Doc said, looking forward to 2022. And it's going to be rough getting back there. Yeah, unless you're Tyler Perry or Amazon Studios and can afford serious COVID protocol, to hire COVID protocol officers and make sure everybody does that. I mean, we all heard what Tom Cruise had to go through to continue filming his big movie. And, you know, at a smaller scale, it's tough. Everything is tough. I like to pay everybody when I make a film. A lot of my friends, I'm sure they'd like to pay people, but, you know, so many of it is volunteers and friends and borrowing. And you just can't ask people to put their lives on the line during a situation like this. So, yes, lots of stuff down the road. But, you know, until we get shots in arms and people realize that they do need to wear masks in public for a while, it's going to be a rough go.
Well, it looks like things are starting to happen. We're getting news now that the number of hospitalizations and people getting the virus is going down around the country, including here in New York,
yeah.
By the way. Governor Cuomo was just on New York One with that news. It looks like the number of deaths are going down. The vaccines are happening. The therapeutics are happening. We're seeing other states get back into production, like New York in a big way, and Chicago and other places. So we'll obviously see what happens. And of course, NCIS New Orleans, which also shoots in that city, is also getting back into production too for CBS. Dr. Fry, I'm curious, are you hearing from other states who would like to do a similar service, spotlighting their talent in film and television?
I have been contacted by a group out of New York that would like to do a similar thing based upon the success of what happens with us. We, of course, launched in December. We are on track in 2021 to hit 1 million subscribers. I think if we can hit that and the numbers keep going the way they're going, then, yeah, I think you're going to see this happen in at least 3 or 4 other places where there's a high concentration of interest in local movies.
All right, well, keep us posted. If they're going to be doing similar service like yours, we'd like to definitely highlight them like your service on this program. And Dr. Brian Michael, before we go, I wanted to give you an opportunity to talk about Larry King, who passed away this weekend. Your thoughts about somebody who really was a very special human being when it came to TV and film interviews. I mean, TV and radio interviews.
Larry was a person that I crossed paths with several times in my career, and a great human being, a heck of a listener. I mean, even if you just was visiting with him in an airport, I mean, he was constantly interviewing. I mean, it was like he didn't want to share anything about himself or talk about himself. He just was always interested in your story. And there needs to be more listening in our world. I think we'd get along a lot better if we did. And for that, he'll be duly missed because he truly was a good listener.
Michael, any thoughts from you?
I grew up watching his shows late night, and I never met him personally. I always, you know, would have loved to. But they were always entertaining, from politicians and, you know, entertainment people, authors. He really covered the gambit, and always an entertaining hour to watch him.
And Dr. Fry, before we go, I understand that another thing you want to do on this channel is live events. Any thoughts about other types of programming specials that you'd like this channel to ultimately do?
We are definitely going to be doing live event streaming, but it's all going to be Louisiana. So once we get back into Mardi Gras, we get back into Jazz Fest, we get back into all of the things that make Louisiana the attraction that it is, you're going to be able to get passes to all those events in the live stream.
The service is Louisiana Film Channel, and it is much more than film. You can see for yourself. Just go to Apple TV, Roku, any television set that has Android or Google TV as the operating system. Same thing with Amazon Fire TV. And if you want more details about the service online, here's where you go, LouisianaFilmChannel.com. That's LouisianaFilmChannel.com. And we'll stay in touch about original programming that comes out of that service in the months to come. Dr. Lucas Fry, Michael Baker, thank you both very, very much for coming on. Congratulations on launching your service and being a role model for other states to do similar services of their own. And it makes the TV viewing for everybody across the country, around the world, even much better. Thank you both for coming on. All the very best to you. It's been a pleasure.
Thanks so much, Simon.
You're welcome, Dr. Fry and Michael. Take care.
Bye-bye.
Dr. Lucas Fry from Baton Rouge, Michael Baker from Garland, Texas, joining us live this half hour on Tomorrow When We Televise. When we come back, we will have the executive producer of the BET Plus series now in season 2, American Gangster. If you didn't think women were as much a part of the organized crime scene way back when, This series might give you a very big surprise. We'll talk about that. Plus, we'll have, as we promised, the American Film Institute's award nomination of the TV Awards for 2020. You might be interested in the people that made the list, and a very special honoree, too. And we'll have our new classic trivia question of the week. And then after the top of the hour, our tribute to Larry King. And we want you involved with your phone calls and chat room reaction. We'll get to all that after we pause at the bottom of the hour for web identification. You are listening to www.blogtalkradio.com, Spreaker.com, TuneIn.com. Together reaching over 50 million listeners around the world every month and growing. Don't forget, Blog Talk Radio is your home for Women Who Jam Radio. Check it out today, 7 p.m. Eastern, 4 p.m. Pacific, right here on Blog Talk Radio. And remember, that's the BTR 24/7, as always, at YouTube.com. Welcome back to our second half hour of this expanded edition of Tomorrow Be Televised. Tom Alba with you live from New York for three episodes we're doing this week. 37 degrees at the top of the hour. Another great guest coming your way in the half hour ahead for those of you just joining us. And if you have a question or comment, ring it in at 646-652-2906. Or use our chat room, SimonApple04 by name. And if you got some thoughts about Larry King, hang in there, because after the top of the hour, we want to hear from you either by phone or by chat room. We told you, if you have been with us since the top of the hour, that a few moments ago, the American Film Institute had its special awards for television programming for last year. It's something we've been doing in recent years, and we've got the full list for you. And first we'll tell you that of the 10 shows that made the list, four of them were from Netflix. And in alphabetical order they were Bridgerton, which got in under the wire because it premiered on Christmas Day, December 25th of last year, The Crown, The Queen's Gambit, and Unorthodox. And by the way, The Queen's Gambit, we had both a key executive producer and the film editor of that program on our show. You can catch those episodes through our homepage, blogtalkradio.com/televised. The other winners, in alphabetical order, Better Call Saul on AMC, The Good Lord Bird on Showtime, Lovecraft Country on HBO, The Mandalorian on Disney+, Miss America on FX, and Ted Lasso on Apple TV+. And a special award was also given to Hamilton, which was presented, originally it was beyond film, but it was presented this summer on Disney Plus and did very, very well. So there's your list of the American Film Institute's Television Awards of 2020. We'll have our next guest coming your way, but first some words from our fine folks at Audible.com. If you're looking for something special that the whole family can enjoy in audio form, how about this? Timeless Tales of Beatrix Potter. That's the Peter Rabbit author, and she actually had many more great tales about animals that acted like humans and got themselves in all sorts of unique adventures. Timeless Tales of Beatrix Potter. You can find that right now and listen to it and enjoy it through a special one-month trial at Audible.com. You know, Audible.com is the leading provider of spoken digital entertainment information and inspiration, too. Over 200,000 titles to choose from, and you can listen to them on any device, including whatever you're hearing us on right now, at Blog Talk Radio, Speaker, TuneIn Radio, iHeartRadio, Amazon Music, etc. Remember, just sign up at audibletrial.com/televised, audibletrial.com/televised. You get one free audiobook, the one-month trial, and great customer service from Audible's parent, Amazon.com. And also, if you are already an Amazon Prime customer, you get two audiobooks to choose from, including one from the growing catalog of Audible Originals. That's original audio productions and podcasts, the best of Broadway or Florida regional theater, as well as great one woman and one man performances. So how about having today be the day that you discover how Audible.com can transform the way you hear, or people you know hear, the world. It's a great gift for people you love too. So remember, to find out all about it, it's audibletrial.com/televised. My next guest is the executive producer of a BET Plus series that premiered last year, and now it's in season two, called American Gangster, Trap Queens. Joining us live from Southern California, Jackson Wynn. Jackson, thanks for taking the time and being with us.
Thanks for having me, Simon. Appreciate it.
It's a pleasure. I'm wondering, how many people have reacted to your series this way? I really didn't know that there were a lot of women who are in organized crime as much as men.
Everybody reacts that way. You know, I was a big fan of the original rendition of American Gangster. I think it was over 10 years ago, and that was mainly, if not all, male. So, you know, it's been a delight to see the reaction over the past two seasons about seeing female criminals in this criminal enterprise. So it's been great.
You know, throughout the last couple of decades, when we've had TV series like The Untouchables or Crime Story or The Lawless Years or movies like Bonnie and Clyde, you rarely – the emphasis is always on organized crime men. Very little on women. I mean, Bonnie and Clyde may be the only movie I know that had actually equal say here, Warren Beatty and of course, Faye Dunaway in their roles. What made you interested in looking at the distaff side of organized crime?
You know, actually, looking into it, there's more layers when telling the stories of female criminals. I mean, a lot of it has to do with gender disparities, you know, that continue to plague America, let alone the criminal justice system. And so, you know, for women, especially Black women, dealing with, you know, injustices and in these Black communities across America, there's a lot more to their story than just the crime itself. You know, a lot of them are single mothers. A lot of them come from broken homes as well. And you're dealing with a lot more than just, you know, the crime itself. And so as a filmmaker, you know, we love diving into the multiple layers when it comes to females.
For folks who have not seen the series, in season one, who were some of the women crime masters that you profiled?
Well, we did 10 episodes in season one. Big 50, Del Ronda Hood out of Detroit, Thelma Wright out of Philadelphia. You know, they ran their enterprises. I mean, they could have been, you know, CEOs of Fortune 500 companies if they took the straight and narrow. You know, Aisha Hall, unorthodox story that dealt with white collar fraud, you know, mortgage fraud, you know, loan fraud. We had, you know, Rashia Wilson, who did a 21 or is currently doing a 21 year bid for tax fraud. You know, Jamila T. Davis in New York. You know, there's so many different stories, and season one was amazing. Season one was amazing, and we learned real quickly that, you know, unfortunately for society, you know, this story can continue to be told. And going into season two, in my opinion, the stories are bigger, better, badder.
It sounds like, from what you just said, that there was no one center of organized crime with women, that these women popped up from all over the country. And it also sounds like these were not people interested in murder or kidnapping or bank robbery, that kind of crime. They were more into, as you say, white-collar crime. It's sort of like, do you sense that there was a Robin Hood pattern here, like these women were, like, using crime to right wrongs?
Absolutely, absolutely. And there is the murder, too, as well, you know. Story like Jean Brown, where, you know, we did her story and she's just currently in prison, you know, dealt with murder. So we ran the gamut. You know, they're cautionary tales, you know, of women basically seduced by the allure of the crime world. But I would say you're right, Simon. You know, time and time again, we're seeing them not only help, you know, themselves, but their families and the local community. And the story of Shauna Berry Scott from season one was exactly that. You know, she was seen in the media helping out her local community. And the stories that came out here in season two, the five that we just dropped about 10 or 11 days ago, each one of those women, you know, not only helped their communities when they were leading this life of crime, but, you know, in their, you know, form of redemption, continue to help their communities. You know, whether it be Dwayne Curry, you know, working with LGBTQ plus communities today, telling her story. You know, the women are more so than the men, in my experience, are more inclined to be that Robin Hood figure that you talk about.
We're speaking with Jackson Wynn. He is the executive producer of American Gangster Trap Queen. It's the series now in its second run and second season on BET Plus, available on smart TV sets and smart TV devices. And Jackson joins us live from Southern California this half hour. On Tomorrow Will Be Televised. Tom, I'm with you live from New York, the other side of the U.S. of A., where it's now 37 degrees at the top of the hour. If you have a question or comment for our guests, well, pick up that phone and dial it in, 646-652-2906, or use our chat room, Simon Apple 04 by name. Again, this is the first of three episodes we are doing this week. We're with you also Wednesday and Friday at this very hour. And joining us on Wednesday, we'll have the founder and president of Film Detective, Phil Hopkins. His service is about to make a big leap forward in terms of the amount of promo it offers and where it offers as well. And then we'll focus on the growing trend of interactive fitness services with one of the big leaders of this movement, Peloton, with a live exclusive interview with a key senior vice president, global head of product marketing, Karina Kogan. That's all coming up Wednesday at our regular time, 3:30 Eastern Pacific, right here on Demography Televised. And don't forget, toward the top of the hour, we have our classic trivia question segment. We'll give you the answer to our current question, since nobody got. And we have a brand new question for you. If you first correct the answer, a quartet of prizes, including the Crazy Stupid Love DVD, can come your way. Jackson, what kind of challenge was there in terms of putting these episodes together, especially the first season? Because you're dealing in some cases with women who may not have enough footage of what they did in the 20s, 30s, 40s, 50s, you know, the last century, if you will. So I'm curious how you were able to get through that, as well as more recent situations, and put the episodes together.
That's a great question, Simon. Yeah, years ago when they had the American Gangster on the Men, they were very well-known men. I think they even did an episode on J. Edgar Hoover. But this time around, you're right. You are telling a story about women who really aren't known outside of maybe their communities. I mean, this season, we did an episode on Shantae Henderson, who actually made it on the FBI's Most Wanted list with Osama bin Laden. So she was somewhat famous. But that's, you know, the difficulty of telling them these stories and diving into their characters. You know, Brandi Davis, you know, had some fame because she had, you know, traversed in the BMF, Black Mafia family circle. And so there was some archive on her and others this season. But that is the challenge. So working very closely with the queens, the trap queens themselves, is part of the process. The access, and you're getting a first-person perspective a lot of times. And the majority of the episodes, if not all the episodes, you're dealing with the trap queens personally. So it takes a lot of communicating. It's a long journey that goes back years sometimes in the making of some of these episodes. So that's the challenge. And then going into season two, you know, with COVID, you know, switching gears and trying to, you know, flex your filmmaking documentary muscles in a different way, whether it be remote directing and producing with crews around the country and getting access to these individuals and their families and the contributors and law enforcement on the other side of the coin. So a lot of challenges, but couldn't have had a better team helping us put it together.
Before we go any further, Jackson, why are these women called trap queens? Where did that term come from?
You know, it was a term, I think, that came, you know, through rap music, you know, and the culture over the past 10 years. You know, I think Queenpin is a little dated. And when coming up with a new version of the American Gangster's brand and series, Trap Queen's been one of the terms that has been prominent within, you know, the rap community, hip-hop community. And, you know, this season is narrated by Lil' Kim, you know, a hip-hop icon. Last season was Jeezy. And so there's a big part of the hip-hop culture and flair and theme woven in each and every one of these episodes. So it made a lot of sense when coming up with the new version of American Gangster to call it Trap Queen.
Yeah. With these kinds of series, a lot depends on how you recreate events, and also the kind of access you get with people involved in the case, relatives, family members, law enforcement, and so forth. How much recreation did you do with these episodes? And then in the case in terms of access, how willing were people to talk about these women?
Season one, like you said, Simon, you've been doing this for quite some time. Season one was tougher than season two. By the time, you know, season one aired, you had people almost coming to the table wanting to tell their story for season two once they kind of seen the show and the success of the series. And, you know, we're partnered up with Judge Greg Mathis, one of our amazing executive producers. And from the get-go, the reason he wanted to do this show was to tell the story of redemption, to talk about these cautionary tales. And so, you know, it was easier the second time around because we had a template to work off of. But I think your question was, you know, how the balance between interviews, cinema verite, you know, and reenactments. I would say reenactments make up, you know, 20% of the show itself. It's a full, I mean, I've been working in documentary film for close to 20 years, and we used all of this. We used every part of the trade, you know, from the interviews to the cinema verite to the reenactments to the archival. It's a really great balance. And not only that, from the contributors on both sides of the law. So I would say of all the shows that I've ever worked on, this has the best balance of all those things that you and I have done for so many years.
What kind of contribution did Judge Mathis make?
Big contributions. I mean, I would say he helped, you know, from as early as not only the development of the show with executive producers Brett Gardner, Mark Anthony, and Delise James, working with, you know, Arthur Smith and Frank Sinton of A. Smith & Company, and myself. I mean, from the get-go, you know, his experience having been, you know, a Detroit judge, let alone to currently being a judge that's all over television, casting, you know, it made the contributors feel more comfortable that he was behind it, and this wasn't just a show that was going to exploit individuals. So from the very get-go, throughout the entire process, Judge Mathis is there every step of the way.
American Gangster Trap Queens, now in season 2 on BET+, available on many smart TV sets and smart devices. We've got one of the key executive producers, Jackson Wynn, with us live from Southern California this half hour on Tomorrow Will Be Televised. Simon with you live from New Weber York. Good to have you aboard. Have a question or comment in our remaining minutes with Jackson, make the call and do it right here through 646-652-2906 or use our chat room, SimonApple04 by name. Again, coming up next Monday on Tomorrow Will Be Televised, among our guests, we'll have the executive producer of the new series, Devil May Care, Amanda Miller. And also, the following Friday, we will have somebody who's had this program before, Abby Greensfelder. She runs her own company dealing with unscripted television called Every Woman Studios, has done that for 2 years. And now she's doing a unique initiative to try to get more women to do unscripted television series. We'll talk to her about that project and what she's doing with Every Woman. That's coming up a week from Friday, February 5th, 3 p.m. Eastern Pacific, right here on Tomorrow Will Be Televised. You mentioned that a number of the subjects in this series were lesbians or are lesbians, and that you have to deal, obviously, with the gay and lesbian community, the trans, the LGBTQ community, in terms of how you portray them. What kind of relationship do you and your producers have with this community in terms of trying to be honest about these women, but at the same time trying to not have it come off as a stereotype that members of this community are going to shout out about?
Oh, absolutely. No, I'm excited to talk about this subject matter. I mean, you know, I worked on a series called Finding Justice with BET. I had the privilege of working on that series with Black Lives Matter and Dwayne The Rock Johnson. And you go through some sort of boot camp in a lot of ways when dealing with, you know, social injustice. And one of those biggest injustices is dealt with from, you know, women within the LGBTQ plus community and men. One of our episodes that just dropped is on Dwen Curry. She's a trans woman from Detroit. You know, it was the queen of wire fraud and identity theft, you know, dealt with airline ticket scams to wire fraud, was a stylist to the stars, clients like Mariah Carey, Eve, Missy Elliott, and, you know, and then it all came crashing down. But, you know, you start off by listening, you know, when you don't know, you know, about the subject as well as, you know, you could. And when it comes to this community that's constantly growing, it starts with listening. And we have the best producing team. Dion Fearon probably communicated with Dwen Curry. They knew each other before the show was decided to be produced. But, I mean, it was a nonstop discussion. And we still talk to Dwen today, even after the show has released. So it starts with constantly listening, communicating, bringing experts on the show. In Dwen's episode, we have several experts talking about the difficulties that the trans women have to deal with in prison. BET gave us the opportunity to put a slate at the top of that show, giving credit to Dwen and working with Dwen very carefully in how she wanted to be addressed. And how she made that transition from a male to a female, and how she wanted to be, you know, how she wanted to be portrayed in the show. So we work very closely with the people within the LGBTQ plus community, and couldn't be more proud and happy about that.
Mm-hmm. Who are some of the other women that you profile in upcoming episodes this season?
Perrion Roberts, the Black Widow, they called her, Queen of the South out of Alabama. Unbelievable story, you know, about her dominating the drug trade, you know, and to do prison time only to come out and lead a life of philanthropy, working very closely with politicians in Alabama. Brandi Davis, I mentioned a little bit about her earlier, a BMF, Black Mafia Family princess of sorts, out of Detroit. You know, her story is amazing because her dad was in the trade as well. Dwayne Curry, we talked about her. Tiffany Rose Peake. Tiffany Rose Peake, you know, was a mastermind who dealt with millions of dollars of theft from Michigan stores in the tune of, you know, several million dollars, boosting, you know, we would call it. And Shante Henderson, mentioned her a little bit about. You know, out of Kansas City, who made the FBI's most wanted list. I think the first female to make it on that high in the top 10 FBI's most wanted list, and the same list as Osama bin Laden. And we communicated with her, continue to communicate with her as she is in prison right now in Kansas City. You know, Nia Wesley, one of our amazing producers, I think, had begun chatting with her in February or March of last year. And she had the opportunity to have her story told many times, but, you know, felt that she could trust it in the hands of our team. So that is the five episodes that dropped 11 days ago and ready for everyone to watch right now on BET Plus.
Mm-hmm. Is there a subject that you didn't get to this season that if you go to a season three will definitely be on that agenda?
Yeah. I mean, we actually are in production. We're in production, and it's not a season three. I think BET Plus has different rollouts, whether they call it season two, you know, tranche one or tranche two. But, you know, we're currently in production and very excited for the next batch, you know, hopefully to be coming, you know, your way soon. And they are bigger, better, and badder stories in a lot of ways. And, you know, definitely stay tuned because, as I mentioned, American Gangster did an episode on J. Edgar Hoover years ago. There's going to be some of that type of off the beaten path approach in terms of how we like to tell our stories. So we have exciting ones coming up.
Any other TV series you're working on while you're getting either season three or part two of season two together?
Well, you know, I was listening to Dr. Fry and Michael Baker talk about Louisiana, and the last time I was actually, you know, on the ground physically filming, because, you know, I've been around the world myself, was in Louisiana for Mardi Gras. So, you know, there's another series that our company, A. Smith & Company, does really well and been doing it for many, many years. Unsung was a series that I had the privilege of filming in Louisiana for at Mardi Gras with Mystical. I think that episode might be coming out soon on Unsung in the next, you know, several months. But yeah, I had the privilege of filming with Mystical there. You know, A. Smith and Company, if you don't know Simon, and if the viewers don't know, but the listeners don't know, they do American Ninja Warrior, a very popular show of theirs. I had the privilege of working with them on that series. Mental Samurai, Death by Magic, Voices of Fire with Pharrell Williams on Netflix, Welcome to Plathville on TLC, and of course Titan Games with Dwayne The Rock Johnson and then Gordon Ramsay's Hell's Kitchen. So, you know, very diverse, successful production company that I've had the privilege of working with their team and that they're amazing producers for close to 15 to 20 years.
Mm-hmm. And we've covered some of their shows over the years on this program. They're very versatile in terms of unscripted competition shows, game shows, et cetera, et cetera. And they've done a few scripted shows too over the course of their tenure. As I mentioned, we wanted to give our guest today the opportunity to talk about Larry King and the contribution that he made for so many decades to both television and radio. And one of the things that, you know, I remember about Larry King was he was one of the first talk show hosts to really get into some of the most important trials of the century, most notably the O.J. Simpson trial.
Yeah. Yeah, no, I wasn't sure if that was a question, but I mean, Larry King, I mean, American Gangster, when they first started doing American Gangster 10, 12 years ago, it was in the CNN building, you know, in Sunset and Cahuenga in Hollywood, which is where I got my first job. So I used to run into Larry King all the time and all the amazing guests, you know, from Bono to, you know, Michael Jackson was even there. You know, I think there was a new guest every single day. He had an amazing show. And when it comes to doing our craft and interviewing people, there was nobody better. So I've had a great couple run-ins with the great Larry King, and God, you know, bless his family, and may he rest in peace. But yeah, there was a lot of times where, you know, his office and the CNN at the CNN building was at the top. You know, I think there was like 20, 30 floors, and the rest of us were underneath. And it was a great inspiration to look at the top of that building every single day, CNN, and know it was pretty much being led by Larry King. In a lot of ways, it was an inspiration as a filmmaker, as a documentarian, because when it comes to our craft and interviewing people like you do as well, Simon, he was the best.
Well, why do you think his interviews were special? Why was he such, and I'll talk about this in the next half hour, the fact that one of his traits was, whether it was a president or a world leader or a superstar entertainer or the Good Samaritan who got 5 minutes of fame, he seemed to treat everybody the same way, with a great deal of dignity, respect, no matter who he was facing across the desk from him in that microphone. It seemed that he would give them their complete attention and made them the focus, not himself.
Yeah, it's a trick of our trade, right, Simon? You research people. Yeah, you're definitely well-researched. You know everything about the person. But when you're on television or you're doing the actual interview, you know, you don't act like you know, but you know. And not only that, you throw the script out the window sometimes, right? You got to have a bunch of people, pieces of paper or your laptop in front of you with research on it. But once you kind of have that in the back of your head, you have a conversation with the real person. And Larry, like you said, was the best at that. And I was there. I did a show called HBO 24/7 for many years. With Floyd Mayweather and Manny Pacquiao, and Larry King would come in, and Floyd's a tough interview. Pacquiao is a tough interview. I mean, they're not going to follow your script. And Larry was the best at that. I mean, he's the leader of like, okay, you don't want the script, let's go. And so he was well researched, but he was also able to talk to you about your family life and where you came from. And you know, he was so well researched and had interviewed so many special people. He could, you know, talk to you about anything and talk to you forever about it.
Mm-hmm. The name of the program is American Gangster Trap Queens, now in season 2 on BET Plus, available on most smart TV sets and smart TV devices, and in some cases on your local cable operator. For more details about the program online, go to www.bet.plus. That's www.bet.plus. American Gangster Trap Queens, now in season 2. Jackson Gwynn, executive producer of the show, joining us live from Southern California. Thank you so much for coming on. Thank you for the Larry King thoughts also. All the best to you for a continued long run with your series and much, much more with the folks at A. Smith.
You're the man, Simon. Really appreciate what you're doing for the industry and letting people like myself and Dr. Fry and Michael Baker on board. And it's really an honor to be on your show. And you keep up the great work. Thanks so much, Simon.
Thank you very much, Jax. I really appreciate the comment, and will do, for sure. And with guests like you, it makes it so much easier and so much greater. Take care. All the greatest.
Take care.
Jackson Gwynn, executive producer of American Gangster Trap Queens, joining us live from Southern California. Now time for our classic trivia question of the week. And our question for the last 2 weeks, nobody came up with the answer. One person did, one of our previous winners, Ryan Lerman, but unfortunately, he's already won, so he did not qualify. So anyway, here's the answer to that question we have posed over the last 2 weeks. Name the 1950s Western television series starring Joel McRae. The answer was Wichita Town. We told you 2 weeks ago that there was a major city in the title, and that it is Wichita Town. It ran on NBC from 1959 to 1960. Joel McRae himself produced it with his own production company in association with 4-Star Television. And here's something you may not know. His son was also involved on camera, but did not play his son in the series. He played another character. And despite Joel McRae's, you know, iconic status in Westerns, the show only ran one season. So that's the answer. Wichita Town was the Western TV series that was starring Joel McRae. So, we have a brand new question for you, and if you are first with the correct answer, you'll win four great prizes, including the Crazy Stupid Love DVD. That's the movie with Steve Carell and Ryan Gosling and Emma Stone, Marissa Tomei, Cass 1000. You'll also get the Telaria Clutch Plus Money Card Clip. We got a great book for you, The Genius Box, How the Idiot Box Got Smart and is Changing the TV Business by David Tyson, Huffington Research. Another book, too, Off the Back of a Truck, a new book about The Sopranos. And our question this time is in tribute to The Equalizer, the brand-new remake that's coming up in 2 weeks after the Super Bowl on CBS. In case you don't know, The Equalizer was a famous TV series based here in New York in the 1980s, 1905 to 89 on CBS. It was co-created by Richard Lindheim and Michael Small, and starred Edward Woodward, the great British actor who played Robin McCall. Queen Latifah will be in the McCall role, this time as Robin McCall. Michael Sloan was the co-creator. And in case you don't know, Richard Lindheim passed away last week at the age of 81. So our question is dedicated to Mr. Lindheim. Complete this Equalizer character's name, Mickey blank. It's like a match game question. Complete the name of this Equalizer's character, Mickey blank, played by Keith Sarabassa in the original. If you know the answer, email me, simonapple04@yahoo.com. That's simonapple04@yahoo.com. Please enclose your name and where you're from. If you're first with the correct answer, you will win all four prizes. And don't forget, when you put in your answer and close your name and mailing address, if you won before, let somebody else do it. Let's give you the question one more time. Complete this Equalizer character's name, Mickey blank. Mickey blank, played in the original by Keith Sarabassa. And to get the answer in, it's simonapple04@yahoo.com. If we don't get an answer by the end today, we'll post the question tomorrow morning on Facebook and on Twitter. Simon Applebaum on Facebook and on Twitter at UBC Simon TWT. As always, in order to win, play it in. And all the very best. We come back, our tribute to Larry King. We want to hear from you, so give us a call, 646-652-2906, or use our chat room, SimonApple04 by name. We'll do it after we pause, after the top of the hour, for web identification. This is blogtalkradio.com, speaker.com, and tuning.com. Together, reaching over 50 million listeners around the world every month and growing. Don't forget, BTR is your home for Kings in the Morning. Check out Jay King & Company every weekday, 11 a.m. Eastern, 8 a.m. Pacific. Kings in the Morning, no relation to Larry, but great radio anyway. Kings in the Morning, right here on Blog Talk Radio. And remember, best BTR 24/7 at YouTube.com. Welcome back to our final half hour of Tomorrow Be Televised and our special tribute to Larry King, who passed away over this weekend at the age of 87. It's time to have up with you live from New York. Whoever those of you just joining us at the top of the hour, and we really want to hear you. We want your thoughts about Larry King, the impact his programming made on your life, and your thoughts about really one of the great, great personalities in the history of television and radio. So give us a call, 646-652-2906. That's 646-652-2906. The number's good anyway. You're catching us across the country, around the globe, here on Blog Talk Radio, Speaker, TuneIn Radio. And don't forget, we have our chat room. If you put your question or thought in that way, SimonApple04, you'll find it on our homepage, blogtalkradio.com. So get it in, phone our chat room, and we will get you involved. And again, while the program is on the air, you can connect others by using Facebook Timeline. Click on the Facebook icon on your Blog Talk Radio or speaker screen. Tune in and follow the instruction. Other people can be live with you. There is no way that we could not do today's episode without remembering Larry King, who passed away this past Saturday at the age of 87. What an amazing person and what an amazing life. You could say that Larry King was the king of talk radio and then talk television. He had an amazing career that spanned decades, from the 1970s to the year before he passed away, early in 2021. And if you want to know what made Larry King so special, first on radio, then on television, I have three ideas for you. First, Larry was able to interview anybody, whether it was the President of the United States, a crime boss, a superstar entertainer, a world leader, or just the Good Samaritan that got 5 minutes of fame doing something great for somebody else or for their community. Larry King, when he faced them, across his desk and across that big oversized microphone of his, he treated each and every guest with respect, with dignity, and with genuine interest in what they were up to. He never played favorites. When you were on Larry King Live, you were treated like royalty. And Larry King was interested in you. There was no agenda. There was no, here's my opinion about you. He came free and clear to hear what you had to say, no matter what it was. That's one. Number two, Larry had a great gift of gab. Nobody could improvise an interview like Larry King did, before, during, or since. It takes somebody really special to interview all sorts of people, and Larry King had that gift. And he could do it off the cuff. Yes, he sometimes got in trouble for having off-the-cuff interviews where he didn't do a lot of research. But that's what made his radio and television programming so remarkable. You had to pay attention to what he was doing because it was off-the-cuff. It was as spontaneous and improvisational as it got, and the results were often miraculous. And number three, Larry King was one of the most curious individuals on the face of any earth. He was really curious about you. And he was curious as much about the guest as about his listeners and his viewers. He invited his listeners and his viewers to be involved interacting with his guests or interacting among themselves. And that comes from somebody who was genuinely curious, not with an agenda, not with a viewpoint, but just interested in the world. And that curiosity really made a difference for King throughout his talk and TV life. Larry got his start in the 1960s in Miami Beach, both on radio and then on television. For a number of years, he did his own TV show called Miami Undercover, one of the local stations there. And in fact, it was there that King got his first taste of celebrityhood when Jackie Gleason came and had his American Scene magazine, the show on CBS, originate from Miami. Remember, he used to say, if you ever see reruns of that show, the audience of Miami Beach are the greatest audience in the world. Well, Larry King actually had an audience with Jackie Gleason, and Jackie actually came to a episode of what he called was Miami Undercover and had a lot to say about how it looked, how he was, the set, everything. And King adopted many of the changes that Gleason suggested. And he and Gleason became lifelong friends. In the 1970s, national radio came calling. And it was in 1978 that the Larry King Show started on Mutual Radio, a radio series that ran until 1994, nearly 20 years. It was the pioneering overnight radio show. Try this out. Five nights a week from midnight to 5:30 a.m. every weeknight, Larry King held court with his guests and his listeners. He would have a guest on for 2 hours, the first 2 hours, or guests. And he would encourage in the last half hour of that two-hour period phone calls from all over the country and around the world. Wherever they came from, they got their say. And then for 3.5 hours every weeknight, five nights a week, there was Open Phone America, where Larry King listened and communicated with America all over the country and later all over the world. Think about that. 3.5 hours a night of America talking and the world talking. In 1985, CNN came talking with a deal for Larry King to headline its 9 p.m. hour with Larry King Live. And it began a love affair on CNN that lasted for 25 years. It was a show that had some of the biggest audiences in the history of cable television. Why? Because it was live from Los Angeles or Washington, D.C., anywhere in the country. And if there was somebody making news, no matter who it was, chances are they were on Larry King Live that night and he would be talking with them. And he'd be generally interested, asking simple, direct questions and eliciting great answers and getting his audience involved. King did over 6,000 episodes of Larry King Live over 25 years. Some 20,000 guests, all shapes and sizes. And again, he loved every moment. You could tell. You can't fake the camera. You could tell he loved interviewing all sorts of people, great and near great. And Larry, along the way, made big headlines with his coverage night after night of the O.J. Simpson trial, his political coverage night after night from primaries to election night, his celebrated NAFTA debate, the appearances of everyone from Bob Hope to Ross Perot. So many incredible moments. And the majority of them live as it happened, with millions of people tuning in. It was must-see television every weeknight for 25 years. And in 2010, when Larry King left CNN, it didn't stop his career. He decided to go into his own business and pioneer with the internet and do a talk show called Larry King Now, which started on OJ Media in 2012 and ran for 9 years. And if it had not been for his passing, it would still be in production today. It was one of the first shows, by the way, picked up by Hulu. And in addition, he did a second series called Politicking with Larry King that ran from 2013 to 2020, a weekly political affairs show. And as always, Larry got his audience involved and always as curious as ever. And that was not all Larry King did. He sometimes did sportscasting, including in his first base at Miami Beach. He also did a weekly column for USA Today for years. And he was one of the first celebrities to be followed in a big way on Twitter. Over 2 million followers catering to his many, many thoughts about growing up in Brooklyn, to his thoughts about the times and the lives that were around today. Larry King was an incredible human being. He was a pioneer. He was a groundbreaker. Yes, he had his flaws. And yes, he had his embarrassing moments, but more moments than not were very, very special. It was the kind of television and the kind of radio that had you watching night after night or listening night after night. You don't get many people like that. And if you heard our other guests today, you heard the kind of impact that Larry had on them. I want to tell you a story about somebody who worked with Larry King on his OJA shows, Larry King Now, and Politicking with Larry King, that you currently see on CBS this morning. His name is David Begnaud. I think he's one of the best correspondents, maybe the best correspondent on morning television. Because in many ways, his reporting reflects what Larry King was all about and that more journalists should be doing, that they're not. If you see David Begnaud's reports, catch what he does. First of all, he's not the story. The people he interviews are. The environment around him is. The story he is dealing with is. And he lets his subjects tell their story, whatever the side is. And when he wraps up his stand-ups before sending it back to Gayle King and Tony DiCoppola and Anthony Mason in the studio, he will sum up other things that his subjects told him without commentary, just this is what they said, this is what's happened since, bing, bing, bing. I'll bet you that was all Larry King's doing. And frankly, this is something that more and more journalists should be doing. And they could take a gamble from Larry King, which is stop being an agenda setter. Stop doing commentary rather than reporting. Be interested in your guests. Be interested in your subjects. Let your subjects tell the story, not you. That's Larry King's legacy. And that's why so many people, so many millions around the world, caught his radio and then television programs right up to his passing. He leaves behind millions and millions of followers, millions of viewers and listeners who caught him at his best. and so many people whose lives were impacted by the way Larry King interacted with them, whether they were guests on his programs or people he worked with behind the scenes at CNN, at Mutual Radio, at Westwood One, at OJA, at Hulu, and other places. My good friend Ed Martin, who is one of the columnists at Media Village, the media leadership website I write for, and one of the best TV critics in the country, came out today with a column in memory of Larry King. It's must reading. I hope you get a chance to read it. Do so at www.mediavillage.com. And he nails all the bases about Larry. And he suggests that maybe it's time that in this era of opinion talk shows where people push agendas and not facts, that maybe it's time to bring the kind of interviews, elaborate, revealing, insightful, that Larry King did so long and so well, back into public consciousness. He says at the end, by the way, that Netflix would be a great home. I agree. And some other networks, too, might want to pick up the slack. There is room for someone like Larry King to take up the mantle that he's leaving behind. He can't be Larry King, or she can't be Larry King, but they can certainly live up to the standards, the camaraderie, and more importantly, the engagement and curiosity that served him well for so many decades and served us well for so many decades. Larry, loved you. Miss you very much. Thank you for impacting my life as a journalist and as an interviewer. And I'm sure that right now you got the stars, all of them, captivating with your conversation. And that's the way it ought to be. I'm going to give you a couple moments if you'd like to weigh in with your thoughts. So why not give us a call, 646-652-2906. That's 646-652-2906. If you're out there, love to hear your Larry King thoughts, or put them in our chat room, SimonApple04 by name. We've got a few minutes left. Love to hear from you. So make it happen. And we'll take them first come, first serve. While we do that, I also want to share the fact that in addition to Larry King, two other people who were involved with television passed away this weekend. In front of the camera, wonderful actor, Gregory Sierra. He could do comedy, he could do drama, he could do it all. He was one of the original co-stars of Miami Vice. Many of you remember him as one of the original co-stars of Barney Miller, one of the great pioneering situation comedies on ABC. And was a wonderful actor in movies as well as television. And behind the camera, when it came to great music, Perry Botkin Jr. Every day at 12:30 on CBS, you hear his most famous composition, the theme from The Young and the Restless, also known as Nadia's theme, thanks to that day in 1976 where ABC's Wide World of Sports, using his music, played a montage of Nadia Comaneci in her gold medal performances at the Summer Olympic Games. Botkin Jr. composed a wonderful theme, and Sandy DeVore, who passed away last year, created the great title. And it's great to see that his music for that series still, particularly that theme, continues to linger in the minds of millions of Americans and people around the world. They will both be very missed. So while we wait, and I hope we can get at least one call in our remaining minutes, I also want to say, too, that this weekend was also my birthday. I'm celebrating Route 66. Did that on Saturday. Route 66, I call it because that's my age. And also because I was a big fan of the television series that started almost 61 years ago, one of the landmark television dramas of all time, Route 66, Martin Mill and George Maharis roaming the countryside in their Corvette. The first television series to be filmed on location every episode around the country, not using a studio, done in semi-documentary style, created by Herbert B. Leonard and the brilliant Oscar-winning writer Sterling Siliphant, who should have won an Emmy Award for his work on Route 66 and other things as well. one of the best writers, one of the most poetic writers the TV ever had. That series, by the way, you can see many episodes on YouTube. And if you haven't, do. It's great drama, wonderful actors in it, fantastic talent all over the place. And I had the chance, by the way, to talk to Burt Leonard in the latter days of his life when he was doing a Rin Tin Tin revival series for the Family Channel. One of the great producers of all time. And when you have it under your belt, Route 66 and Naked City, which he did around the same time, by the way, for several seasons. Naked City, produced in New York, and Route 66 around the country. That's pretty, pretty special. He was a very withered person right up to the end of his life, a number of decades ago. And I feel very fortunate to have the chance to hear Bert. He's the man that at the end of every Naked City episode says the classic line, "There are 8 million stories in the Naked City. This has been one of them." So I'm celebrating this year as my Route 66 year, and I want to take a moment to thank all of you out there who were so kind with your Facebook postings, your social media postings, your thoughts. Thank you all very, very much. I know that it's just a pleasure to know you and love you, and I really, really deeply appreciate from the bottom of my soul your thoughts. It's great to be recognized on a birthday. It really is. That's one of the great things about social media. When it's time for you to be honored that way, people respond, and boy, do they respond in wonderfully creative ways. So to all of you out there who took the time in social media to celebrate my B-Day, thank you, thank you, thank you. Sorry, my parents and family. All right. We need another minute or two to get your thoughts on Larry King in. Give us a call, 646-652-2906, or use our chat room, SimonApple04 by name. And I really hope that that you too will be able to post some of the great Larry King live interviews or post some of his radio shows as well in the weeks and months ahead, because there are a lot of people out there who didn't get the chance to see Larry King in his great prime on CNN over that 25-year run, or hear his nightly radio shows on Mutual Radio Leader Westwood One, which started overnight. And the last year of his run there was on Westwood One in the afternoon, 2-3-hour show every weekday. So YouTube, come on, come through with some of the best of Larry King. It'll be really appreciated. All right, so thank you to all of our guests for being here today. Thanks to all of you for starting this week off great. We've got two more wonderful episodes coming your way this week, Wednesday and Friday. Wednesday, we'll be back at this regular time, 3 p.m. Eastern Pacific. Joining me will be the founder and president of The Film Detective, a big, big film classic smart TV service that's getting bigger because of its acquisition of Fandom. Phil Hopkins, the founder and president, will be with us. And then from Peloton, Senior Vice President Karina Kogan will talk about what may be a very exciting new trend in television this year, interactive fitness services, with Peloton leading the way. If you came in late on today's program, or you want to catch up on episodes you missed, and we've had a lot of good ones coming your way this month so far, well, just go to our homepage anytime you like, www.blogtalkradio.com/televised, www.blogtalkradio.com/televised. And by the way, yesterday we had over 190 replays, so thanks to all of you for doing your thing on Sunday, along with watching, I'm sure, some very exciting games with the NFL championship games, of course, in case you don't know, or under a rock, Tampa Bay, Kansas City, 2 weeks from yesterday on CBS. Should be a dandy. Two great quarterbacks, Tom Brady, Patrick Mahomes. Should be really amazing, with a terrific halftime show with The Weeknd as well. And if you'd like to check out our podcast, they're also available 24/7. You can check them out all over the place at iTunes, Apple TV, Spreaker Podcast, Amazon Music, iHeartRadio, and TuneIn Radio at TuneIn.com. And if there's a podcast site you listen to, like Spotify or Apple Podcasts, Google Podcasts, Podcast One, Westwood One Podcast Network, that isn't taking our show, I have a suggestion. Drop them a line. Be nice. Tell them you hear our show elsewhere, and you'd like them to take our show. And have them be in contact with yours truly, and we'll make the deal go. Okay? So, and let me know. We'd love to hear from them, and we are really out to expand our podcast listenership this year. It's our 14th year on the air. We go into year 15 in August. And, of course, we love hearing from you. What do you think about our show today? What's your thoughts about Larry King and the great contributions he made to both TV and radio through his decades on the air? And what's your thoughts about where TV is at and where it's going? We always love to hear. So email me, simonapple04 at yahoo.com. That's simonapple04 at yahoo.com. Don't forget, you can also follow me on Facebook and on Twitter, Simon Applebaum on Facebook, and UBC Simon, TWBT on Twitter. That's UBC Simon, TWBT on Twitter. No matter how you communicate with us, I do respond within 24 hours, and we do so for a very simple reason, because you, our audience, are what matters. And what you say matters, no matter what you say and how you say it. So make the reaction happen. I do respond, and I do appreciate what you have to say. Like I say all the time, what you say matters. The views expressed here are those of the participants, not necessarily those of Blog Talk Radio and other distributors of this program. Our production associate at Blog Talk Radio is Mandolin. Andy Toe is Blog Talk Radio's general manager, with Jay Sonnenberg, head of content. The co-founders of this enterprise are Al Levy and Bob Cherish. Tomorrow Will Be Televised was brought to you today by Audible.com, an Amazon division. Remember, Audible transformed the way you hear the world. For a free audiobook or two, health and wellness material, and much, much more with a one-month trial, it's audibletrial.com/televised. For Tomorrow Will Be Televised, I'm Simon Applebaum in New York. Thank you for your listening. Have a wonderful rest of your week and definitely your Monday and Tuesday. We will be back on Wednesday, 3 p.m. Eastern, New Pacific, you know where, Blog Talk Radio, Spreaker, TuneIn Radio, Amazon Music, and the iRadio Podcast Network. And more than ever, whatever you're up to between now and our next episode, please be safe, be great. We're going to lick this pandemic, folks. Things are happening. The vaccines, the therapeutics, the treatments. We're starting to see the lockdown stop all over the country, and that's great news. Let's keep the thoughts and prayers coming because, yes, we're licking this pandemic now more than ever. Until the next time, stay well and stay tuned. And Larry King, rest in peace. And as you would end many of your programs, 1, 3, 2, arrivederci.